All right, thank you. That wonderful music. What a great blessing all the music has been this week, hasn't it? I wish I could sing. I was dropped on my throat when I was a baby, and so I've not been able to sing very well. In fact, our RU director the other day handed me a note. He said, "Would you read this Sunday in church, preacher?" And I said, "Sure." And it said, the RU program needs some singers who are willing to sing. And I said, "Wow, can I come?" He said, "We're not that desperate." But to mine, it's been wonderful music, great music, beefsteak music. What a great blessing to hear good, godly, solid music here at the Worth Baptist Church that's been going on for so many wonderful years. What an honor it is to be in this pulpit. Of course, Dr. Raymond Barber, 35 years a pastor, and now Dr. Willie Weaver for nearly 17 years. That's hard to believe. I told him that my mother said, "Now, son, you'll get to a point where time will fly whether you're having fun or not." And sometimes that's the way it is. If you experience that, if you've been around a while, you know that certainly is the truth. And, of course, Mount Abiram, what a great ministry that has gone on for these many, many years. Its great founder used to come to our church. We were on Milton Street every once in a while. He'd show up after the service started, and I'd get nervous, him just being there. And then, of course, Dr. Mike Patterson did a wonderful job here and now handed this over to these two great young men. And I started Temple Baptist Church when I was 26. I'm 62 now. I was young and dumb, and the only thing that's left is the dumb part. The young is long since gone, but what a great ministry Mount Abiram is, and what a great work going on. Of course, you two fellows have big shoes to fill, as you know, Dr. Patterson there. I'm wearing his shoes, as a matter of fact. I can't fill his shoes, but I can certainly wear them, and I am appreciative of that. We both have the same size foot, and so I'm grateful for a pair that fits, and it's comfortable for sure. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you would. I brought a series of messages in our church after reading this text, and I got to thinking about this particular passage and the many, many folks who are in our churches that are not well known, but certainly necessary and needed, and those who have partnered with us. I would like for just a moment, before I read this text, to have everybody stand who is not a missionary. You're not a missionary's wife. You're not on full-time staff. You are what is commonly referred to as a layperson, but you are involved maybe here or other churches, but you don't receive a check from a ministry. You work an outside job, was commonly referred to as a secular job. Would you stand up? If you're like that here tonight, would you just stand up? Let's all of us preachers give them a big hand. God bless you folks. Wonderful. We appreciate you very much. And what a great blessing you are. Notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 19. "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." And I took that thought, and it just lifted itself out of the pages of Holy Writ and spoke to my mind in my heart, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, I understand that there are parts of our body that certainly are essential to our being able to go along and get along. But, you know, you think about your little toe, you don't think much about it until you stub it in the middle of the night trying to get that little room, you know, and you just hang it up there, and my, you realize how important that little thing is. But God put it there for a reason, for great balance and great strength. And, you know, sometimes I think the pages of Scripture we think about to great men and women of God that come to our minds very, very quickly. We think, of course, names like Noah and Moses and Joseph and David and Daniel and Abraham, and on the list could go. But I got to thinking about how many people in Scripture that are not well known, but certainly necessary and needed. Not very much on our minds. Many people's names that we would hardly think of. In fact, many names that we would never name our children after. Now, Caleb and Joshua and Joseph and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have those. And, of course, many wonderful names. I think of the couple in the Bible, Aquila and Priscilla. You know, I'm glad that I wasn't named as a guy, Aquila. I'd have had to have been in a fight all my life, you know. You know, they'd be just kidding me. There'd be all kinds of nicknames for Aquila, if you will. But what a great couple in Scripture. Not well known, but necessary and needed. And all through Scripture, there are so many folks like Ananias, who lit the fire of the Apostle Paul there, that was just brought in. Not well known, just comes on the pages of Holy Writ just for a moment to help the Saul of Tarsus get started. And it was a disciple, a layman, that laid his hands on him and gave instruction to him. And I think God did that for Saul right after he got saved, to let him know how important everybody would be in his ministry, that it wouldn't just be about him and all the great revelations and the great evangelistic campaigns and the great churches that would be started all across the world at that time and the many languages that he would speak, but God used him in a mighty way. But he took a lot of different people that were mightily used of God to help him and bless him along the way. And it became a rather lengthy series of messages, if you will, not well known, but necessary and needed. I'm just going to just take one of them here tonight and just speak about him. I just love his name. Turn over in the book of Judges, if you will. And I want to speak to you tonight just for a few minutes about Shamgar. I love the name Shamgar. Sounds like Shamgar. He ought to be a wrestler, you know. Shamgar in the squared circle at 320 pounds. Shamgar. I love that name. You don't find any kids named Shamgar. I hadn't run into any. Right around the same time that Shamgar was a judge, of course, there was Ehud. I haven't run into many Ehuds either, but these were a couple of the judges of the nation of Israel at a very, very dark day when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Sounds a little like today, doesn't it? Where everybody wants to do everything that is right in their own eyes. And anytime you start doing that which was right in your own eyes and contrary to the will of God and the Word of God, it will always lead to sin. And sin, of course, left unchecked and unconfessed, will always lead to captivity of the judging hand of God, and that judging hand of God would lead to captivity, and they would be for many years in captivity, and finally, as a result of them reaching bottom. And isn't it amazing how long it takes for some people to reach bottom? Years and years it would take the nation of Israel to reach bottom, and they did, and they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a deliverer, and that deliverer would judge Israel for a number of years, and then that judge would die, and they would go back to doing that which is right in their own eyes. And that always leads to sin. Sin leads to the unchecked and unconfessed, leads to the judging hand of God, and the judging hand of God led to captivity, and that cycle just tended to repeat itself over and over again, as it does in many people's lives. And so it did in the nation of Israel, and so it is seemingly in our land, in our nation today. We are fast moving to a place of captivity unless we see revival in our day. But this man Shamgar, not well known, one of what is called commonly a lesser light, if you will, although I don't think there really are any lesser lights as far as those who are important and matter in the work of God. Let me say to you tonight, you matter in God's work and in God's economy. You're important. Nehemiah, we know well about him being the wall builder, but how many names are mentioned in the book of Nehemiah that we think very little about? But God used them in the building of that wall and the protecting of the nation of Israel. We know this ministry right here by Dr. Raymond Barber and Dr. Willie Weaver, but really there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have been involved in the giving of this great building and this wonderful place and keeping the lights going that matter. You matter in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of how many people are even unnamed in Scripture. You think about the little maid there that was really a captive, really a prisoner of war that could have been very bitter. And that little maid told her master, she said to her master, said, "I would your husband who's a leper, I would he could meet the prophet that is in Israel. He could surely recover him of his leprosy." And of course, Naaman the leper wonderfully saved and blessed as he obeyed the command of God. And we don't even know her name, but I'll tell you, unknown to us by name, but not unknown by God. Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love in the Lord, in that you minister to the saints," and you do minister. Boy, what a great blessing to know that God takes note of everything that's done. Even the little widow's mites that are put in, not nearly as much as the others put in, but taken note by the Lord Jesus Christ, because it wasn't a generous gift, it was a sacrificial gift to the work of the Lord. What a blessing that was. Think about the four men that carried the man sick of the palsy and couldn't get him in because of the great crowd. Four unnamed men that for all these centuries, we have no idea who they were, couldn't get him in, got him up on the roof and pulled the tiling off the roof and let that man down. And he was wonderfully healed and saved. Unnamed men, unknown to us 2,000 years later, but not ever unknown but God. I think of the men when Cornelius, an angel, comes to Cornelius and says, "Thy prayers and thine alms have been heard. You send men to Joppa and you get Peter." Now let me say something tonight in the parentheses of this message, if you will, that if God was going to use angels, that would have been the perfect place right there. If there was other means to get people saved than human instrumentality, right then would have been a good case, amen. But they said, the angel said to Cornelius, and I don't know about you, but if there's a real angel speaking to me, I'm not sure I need Peter. I think I'd want to just do what the angel bids me to do. But there's two servants and a soldier who attended continually upon Peter. He said, "Look, you go to Joppa and you go get Peter while he's trying to get over his racism. And we're waiting on him to get over his racism and his bigotry. And if we can get him over that, you bring him back if he'll come back to a Gentile house and he'll tell us words." And those three men, unnamed men, we have no idea who they were, went all the way across to Joppa and brought Peter back to Cornelius' house. And that whole house and servants were wonderfully and gloriously saved. But three unnamed men, not well known, but necessary and needed. I saw some men here tonight playing instruments. We came in. People that do so many things here. Do we have a nursery here tonight? Are there nursery workers? Thank God for nursery workers. We don't want that crowd turned loose on us. Amen. And so many unnamed people. Sound men that run the sound booth and somebody that vacuums the floor and turns the light on. Not well known. Don't get their name on the sign. But I want to tell you, necessary and needed for the cause of Christ to go forward. And so it is tonight. I think about a couple of other incidences more in modern history, if you will, of people. There was a snowy day in England, and the bivocational preacher couldn't make it. And so the lay preacher, layman there, preached, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was wonderfully saved there. But that lay preacher who was there on a snowy day may have been on ice again. We just had that, you know, recently. We had church. We on that day, I told him, I got up and said, "I don't tell you, if I wasn't a preacher, I wouldn't be here." But I was there. But that preacher preached on that snowy day, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who shook England for Jesus Christ. There was a man, not well known. I don't know his name. I can't call his name. But he did what God would have him to do and lit the fire and won to Christ Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I was up at some months ago at Moody Bible Institute. Wouldn't advise going there or working there either. Recently, again, heard the news. That means nothing to you. But anyway, they're all drinking and smoking up there. They're not all doing that, I'm sure, but they're... Anyway, that's just a side note. But there's a museum there for D.L. Moody. If you ever up there, probably if Moody was alive today, he'd want his museum moved. But anyway, that's in the parentheses. And in there is a little statement there made by D.L. Moody. Said, I was working in my shoe store, and the Sunday school teacher where I'd gone to Sunday school came by. Sunday school teacher came by. And in the words of D.L. Moody, said, he put his hands on my shoulders, and he wept over my sin and my soul, to which I'd never done either. And he was wonderfully saved because of the influence of a Sunday school teacher. Now, I've heard his name before, but I can't call his name. But I can sure call the name of D.L. Moody that led so many to Christ. Spurgeon said to D.L. Moody, said, I'd love to have D.L. Moody come over to England and preach because he can draw on a weeknight. I loved reading that. Now, isn't it amazing that issues even in those days? But what a wonderful statement made there. Now, let's look very quickly here at Shamgar, if you will, in Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. Many verses said about Ehud. I love Ehud. Lefty stabbed fatty and dirt came out. That's a wonderful story of Ehud. And that's a whole other message, if you will. But we read in verse number 31 of Judges chapter number 3. And after him, after Ehud, was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. 600 Philistine soldiers with an ox goad. One verse given to the ministry of this not well known. I don't know, some of you may not have ever thought of his name, Shamgar, before you got here tonight, but I want to give you just four things very quickly about Shamgar. First of all, he was just as important as all of the other judges who judged Israel. He wasn't doing that which was right in his own eyes. He was doing what God had called him to do. And it says of him, and he also delivered Israel. And he also delivered Israel. Gideon delivered Israel. Samson, to a degree, delivered Israel. Deborah and Barak delivered Israel. But Shamgar, one verse given to Shamgar. One verse and another little mention I'll show you in just a little bit also mentions him. Not much said, slew 600 Philistine soldiers with an ox goad, and he also. Now, Dr. Barber and Dr. Weaver have been here. But there's also a lot of other people who have helped win people to Christ and helped deliver people and save families and save lives. Wonderful people, thank God. I heard an evangelist one time, he said, and I want to tell you something. He said, I told the church, if you're in the bus ministry, you're not in the bus ministry, you keep your offerings, he said. Now, you're not going to be involved working, don't give to the bus ministry. I'm like, no, don't say that. Thank God for every part that everybody has. Amen. It takes gas to run those buses, and it takes money to buy those buses, and it takes money to insure those buses. And thank God, it's a great investment by everybody, time, talent, treasure, and touch. And so thank God for Shamgar. And he also delivered Israel. You lay people that are here tonight, you also, everybody that ever gets saved in your church and everybody that your pastor and staff can win to Christ, that's an investment and a help, and you also have helped to deliver them. Not well known, but necessary and needed, the great cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great impact. In fact, you see the five-talent person in Matthew chapter 25 and the two-talent person, both of them, get the same response by our Lord, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, if you're a one-talent person and your one talent is criticism, I believe you could bury that gift. And I don't think the Lord would criticize you for having done that. Just throw that in there just as a side note. But here was Here was Shamgar. He was also used of God. Ehud was used of God, but so was Shamgar used of God. Your pastor here, the staff here, the youth pastor, the minister of music, everybody used of God, but you're also being used of God. We need you to partner to help us proclaim the truth. Can't do it alone. Everybody isn't called to ministry. Boy, I'm glad of that. Thank God. I love to eat. Hallelujah. Everybody. God has a purpose for everybody. Thank God for it. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity. So first of all, about Shamgar, just as important as others. Then notice what else about him, that he slew 600 Philistine soldiers with an ox goad. Now, you say, why didn't he use a sword? Because, and I don't take time to read in 1 Samuel 13, there was no spear nor sword found. He used what he had. He had an ox goad. Don't moan over what you can't do or what you don't have. Take what you do have. Moses, what is that in your hand? Why, it's a rod. And he was complaining about he couldn't speak. You know, what's that in your hand? And he said, throw it down. He threw it down, became a serpent. And I heard Curtis Hudson, Dr. Hudson, say many times, he threw it down, said, now pick it up. And Dr. Hudson used to say he developed not only his stammering, but he got hard of hearing. It's always a funny line to me. Pick it up. That's a serpent now. Pick it up. And it became a rod again. What is it in your hand? What do you have? Great, great message for Dr. Wilkerson last night. What do you have? Well, we got a lunch of a lad. Oh, how mightily God will use what you have. Oh, he wouldn't use me. Yeah, he likes to use you. Because you know that no flesh, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse number 8, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. You know why God wants to use what you have? Because you'll be humble about it. You don't have something you brag about. You just say, Lord, here I am. Take what I am. And I've been 36 years since I started Temple Baptist Church. And I've seen some young people with the greatest talent. I think, boy, what God could do with that talented young person. And another one over there that just, you know, wasn't the most popular, wouldn't have been voted in about anything in school. And I've seen them yield themselves to God, and that talented kid just go their own way. And God used that other kid so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Boy, we really do tend to judge by the outward appearance. And I'm not talking about standards. But we tend to think, boy, that person could shake the world of Christ. Anybody could shake the world of Christ if they'll just yield themselves to him. He used what he had. Quit moaning about it. And then I want you to see, thirdly, that he overcame the difficult day in which he lived. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 6, if you will. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. They had to take the back roads in those days for fear. Villages were unoccupied. It was a dark day. And you know what Shamgar did? I think Shamgar just would go along those byways and pick off another one. Maybe he was a sniper. I don't know. You know, he'd see somebody'd send him a text. Say, there's another one over here on Main Street. I'm just seeing if you're listening, all right? Some of you young people think, they had texts back then? No, they didn't. You know, it was way back in the dark ages. The truth of the matter is, Shamgar was one that just said, in a dark day, in a difficult day, hey, it's hard everywhere. I don't care where you are. It's a difficult place. But the power of God is just as mighty wherever you are. But in that dark day, God used him in a mighty way to bring light to Israel and blessing and protection. Families were able to shop and get to Walmart, other places. Because he made the highways and the byways safe. What a wonderful ministry Dr. David Gibbs III has. Boy, it makes it wonderful for us. He's helping us now. He's not just a member. He's helping us a couple of issues right now. And we thank God for him. helping make the way safe so we can preach the gospel, get the word of God out and around the world. Shamgar was that kind of guy. Well, the highways were unoccupied. Folk couldn't get around, but there's Shamgar. He got him another, got him another, got him another, and they began to add up. He got him another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and they began to add up. You know, that's what leads me to my fourth point, and that is, I think these 600 Philistine soldiers were the body of his life's work. It doesn't say of Adino, one of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23:8, that he slew so many at once. It doesn't say that Shamgar slew 600 Philistine soldiers at once. It just says he slew 600 Philistine soldiers with an ox goad. I think it was his whole body of work that he did. He would just go through there, and there's another one he got. There's another road safe, another neighborhood a little safe. And it began to accumulate. You know, I tell people 36 years, I'm like the cross-eyed discus thrower. You've heard of him, the cross-eyed discus thrower. He never set any world records, but he did keep the crowd alert. Shamgar, how many did you get? Only got 600 my whole life. Some ways were made safer. I was faithful at it. I stayed with it. Oh, you didn't get as many as a lot of them. Boy, God used Gideon to slay a lot more. I know. But I stayed at it. Only got one verse in the book of Judges, and then a little side mention about how difficult it was in another passage. That's all I got. Never unknown or unappreciated by God or the people that he helped. You all know the story of the little boy throwing the starfish back in the water and the man walking along. Son, you're never going to save them all. I know I won't, but the ones I am saving, it makes a difference. Those 600 Philistine soldiers that he slew with that ox goad, what he had in his hand, he helped somebody. Now, you may never be a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, a Susanna Wesley. But you know what you can do? You can take what God's put in your hand. Amen. Take time to go through Scripture and find. And I was amazed at this. You know the great Apostle Paul, who did so much that he had to have a thorn in the flesh lest he be exalted above measure for the revelations that were given him. Over 100 names are mentioned that impacted and helped the great ministry of the Apostle Paul. My pastor, missionary to Australia for over 40 years, led me to Christ and invested in my life. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I don't know where I'd be. As a 14-year-old, led to Christ, poor family. He used to come by our house, pick me up for church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He invested in my life. If I were to call his name, Mike Marsh, missionary for over 40 years now to Australia, many of you wouldn't know. But I want to tell you, I stand here because he took an ox goad. He took what was in his hand, and God used him. Let me tell you, young people, tonight, God wants to use you. Will you give him what you have? You may be like me. They may never invite you to sing in the group or in the choir. I'll tell you, if you'll just give what you have, God will help you. Shamgar, 600 Philistine soldiers with an ox goad. Let's pray. Father, help us to give what we have and do what we can. Lord, we may never have our name on a church sign. We never may be noted even from behind a pulpit, our name called out for what we've done. But Lord, you take note of it. Members of the body that seem to be more feeble are certainly more necessary. Lord, thank you for everyone who makes this great church and this great Mount of Byram ministry what it is. All the people that work behind the scenes, bless them and encourage them tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.